God, of which God said to David and to Solomon his son, in the house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land, which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed and do all the things I have commanded them, according to the whole law and the statutes of the ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem err and do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore, this is verse 11, wherefore the Lord brought unto the captains of the hosts of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him into Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord, his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Now after this, he built a wall without the city of David on the west side of Gihon, in the valley, even to the entering in at the fish gate, and compassed about Ophel, and raised it up a very great height, and put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. And he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house and the Lord and in Jerusalem and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings and thank offerings and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you tonight, help us to realize that freedom in sin is nothing, God. Help us to see how true biblical freedom is freedom in Jesus, freedom in God, that true power that you give to us, Lord, if we accept it. I pray if there's anybody here that needs this message, God, that they hear it and that they can apply it to their lives. We want to ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, versus Manasseh, he kind of screwed up, right? He wanted to do what he wanted to do, and surely, I mean, in verse 3 it says, for he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. So he knew growing up, hey, my dad put these places, or my dad did these things that glorified God. My dad did these things that were honoring to God, but I don't want that. I'm the king. I'm the ruler. I'm 12 years old. I get to make the rules now, right? But that's not, look where it got him. I mean, it says he built up altars for the host of the heavens. So he tore down all the things that his dad and his fathers had established before then. Tore that down, but Manasseh sure was living, right? He was living in that sin. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. Nobody was going to tell him that he couldn't do it because he was king, right? And in verse, he even went so far as to find that freedom in sin to sacrifice his children. Isn't that real freedom? Doesn't that sound like freedom to you guys? Doesn't quite sound like it to me. But it's pretty easy to get into that, especially when you don't know any better. I know that let's see here. But not only did he cause him to screw up, but it says in verse 9 that he caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err. So he caused a whole nation to screw up because he wanted them to follow what he wanted to do. Okay, and that's really what freedom and sin boils down to. If you do what you want to do, you're going to get to be where you're going to be, and that's nowhere in the sight of God, right? And actually, as I was preparing for this message, I found out I was reading in Romans 6:20, and it says, for when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. So that right there says, okay, yeah, you got this freedom in sin, and you got this freedom to do what you want to do, but here's the catch-22 to it. You're free from righteousness. That's what we're free from. Right? We're free from God. We're free from Jesus. We're free from anything good because we want to do what we want to do. And we've all been there. Some of us are still there, right? But I know a quick story. I know when I was 12 years old, is right about the time we quit going to church. My mom took me and my three brothers to church all the time. We'd go every Sunday morning. We'd go, and kind of like Manasseh, we would hear. We knew what we were supposed to do, but we didn't want to listen. Right, we wouldn't do what we want to do. And one day, me and my brother, actually, Mikey, we actually hated going to church. We hated it. We were always looking for a way to embarrass my mom for us to not go back. And it finally worked one time. And what we did was we had a thing about us that we could look at each other. We knew who was a bad singer. You know, the people in front of us were like, man, she needs to quit, you know. And we're kids, so we didn't think anything of it. But my mom had this thing, we call it the church pinch. And it's when she'd reach over, just looking right at the pastor, talking, yeah, smiling. We're messing around, and she'd reach over and hit us right in the back of the arm, and we would straighten up. Okay, mom means business, right? Mom means business. Well, one day, my mom meant business, and so did my brother, because he's like, all right, it's game time or no time. So we're sitting, and I can't remember the context of exactly what we were goofing off about, but she pinched him. And this child, and it was right after we got done singing, so everyone was sitting down, getting quiet. The priest was coming up to talk, and Mikey did what Mikey does and decided to mouth off, and my mom hit him with one of those, bang. And this child let out a roar. Like, he's like, why did you pinch me? It's like, what on earth? And you guys seen Finding Nemo? You know those seagulls that their heads snap? And like, mine, you know? Everybody in that church snapped their head to us. And I didn't dare look at my mom. I knew Mikey messed up, so I'm looking dead ahead. I'm like, dude, I think you did it. You know, I'm like, you finally did it. This is it. And sure enough, I kid you not, that day, I was in sixth grade. I think that's right around 12 years old. I was like, dude, you did it, right? I was like, I don't care what happens to you at home, but we're not going back to church. Now we get to live. We get that freedom in sin now. We get to do what we want to do. Yeah, he got a whooping when he got home. But that was it. That was enough for me. I was like, finally, I don't have to hear about God anymore. I don't have to hear about Jesus anymore. I can finally do what I want to do. But I've, like I said, preparing for this, I found out quick that for when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. And thank God for his mercy and what he has in store for us. And, you know, Manasseh's story wasn't over when he got captured. It said here in verse 10, and the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. They would not listen to what God wanted them to do. They decided to continue to live in sin, that freedom in sin, and live their lifestyle. And that was, and then the Lord brought upon them, in verse 11, the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him into Babylon. So he was doing what he wanted to do. He was living his wicked ways and seemingly having a good time. And God said, no. This is going to happen now. And he wiped him down, took him to rock bottom. Wiped out king, took his kingdom away. He was chained up. He was a prisoner. And it says here in verses 12, and when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before God, before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem and the kingdom. Then Manasseh knew the Lord, he was God. So he was serving all these false gods. He was serving, living his best life, if you will, and doing what he wanted to do until God stopped it. God put an end to it, just like he has many of us, put an end to what we wanted to do. I didn't want to be up here preaching, necessarily, but God put an end to it. He said, no, that's it. This is it. This is what I want for you. I said, okay. And then when we start to listen a little bit, when we start to listen, okay, God, that's what we're going to do. It makes it a little easier. Makes it a lot easier. God returned Manasseh back to his kingdom. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, God is talking to Solomon. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their lands. So Manasseh, he knew this. Right, he knew this. He knew this was the way to God. He knew that this was the way to righteousness. And he decided to act on it. He knew, okay, I did what I wanted to do. I had my run. I had my fun. I was living in sin. I was free in sin for a while. I wanted to do it, and it was fun. It felt good. And the rock bottom hit. Bang. Okay, God, maybe there is a better way. Maybe there is a hope that you will see me through this time. And sure enough, there was, because God doesn't lie. So he knew. Manasseh knew, and he took him on his word at that. So when we can humble ourselves before God, when we can come on our knees before God and we can say, God, you know what? My ways aren't working so well. I thought they were, and it felt good for a while, but God, I want to experience that freedom. I want to experience that joy. I want to experience true freedom. That's when we experience freedom in Jesus, guys, or freedom in God in this, you know, Old Testament, freedom in Jesus. And I'll tell you, man, freedom in Jesus is, there's nothing like it. You think, you know, running your life and doing what you want to do, going out to the bars, doing all these things is freedom and fun and you just can't get enough of it. Well, I challenge you to experience freedom in Jesus. Because that's something I can't describe it. People ask me, hey, was Mary and Ashley the best day of your life? I said, no way. I said, absolutely not. I said it was a close second. But I said, experiencing this freedom in Jesus, nothing's going to top that. And Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Bondage being sin. Okay, so we don't have to. So Christ makes us free, guys. Humbling ourselves before Him. Coming to Him saying, you know what, God? I'm done. That's what makes us free. Confessing. Turning from our wicked ways and getting on God's path. Jimmy says it all the time. We need to stop trying to get God on our bandwagon. We need to get on His and see, what do you want for my life, God? What do you want for my life? Instead of me trying to figure it out. I'll tell you, I screw it up all the time. God, what do you want? Oh, I think, that's probably not God. That's, you know, 3.5 years I decided, hey, I don't want to preach for 3.5 years. I knew it. I said, no. I said, no way. You know that song we sing, yes, Lord, yes. I was like, maybe, Lord. Wasn't having it, you know. I didn't want anything to do with it until it got to be so much. Until I was in affliction, I said, you know what, God? Okay, I'll listen. I'll let you do your full work in my life. I don't know how it's going to sound. I don't know how it's going to come out. But I'm going to trust you because you've gotten me this far. I really think that's all God's given me. So in closing, Manasseh humbled himself before God. He went to Him in time of trouble. I went to Him in time of trouble. Ashley's done it. Won't you? Won't you say, yes, Lord, I'll do it? If you're living in sin, you got that freedom in sin. Won't you say, okay, I'm done with it. Change my life, God. I hear all these testimonies every Wednesday, every Sunday. I hear all of these things. Won't you change my life? You've changed all these people. You've touched all these people. Will you do it for me? And He will, if you ask, and you commit, and you confess, and He'll do it. He will do it. Okay, because freedom in sin is short-lived. It's a quick fix. It's a quick feel-good. It's worldly, but it has eternal consequences, eternal death and hell. Freedom in Jesus is everlasting. It's joyful. It's real. It's true. It's heavenly. It's an experience that you have to experience to describe. You can't really describe it. It's a calmness that comes over you, and it leads to eternal life, not eternal death. And so as we stand and the music plays, I ask of you tonight, if you have not given your life to God, if you have not humbled yourself before Jesus, if you have not humbled yourself and said, you know what, God, I want you to be my Lord and Savior, I pray that.